This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
It is Wednesday. That is Woke Wednesdays for us here. It's when we dive into politics, but that'll be happening next hour when we bring in Samuel Garrett Pate from Equality California. That'd be good to see him and talk about the craziness. I have never seen, they had to change so many CNN programs yesterday just to do it in real time and like be like, we don't know, we had a show plan, but so much has come out, we may just have to do this in real time.
Oh my God. Honestly, just doing my news on the beat, I can't get through anything without him being involved. The paragraphs of what's going on right now,
his
it's just too
Twitter,
much to fill. Going nuts.
Nuts.
Do you think that he's, you think he's scared?
I think Trump is a little nervous and anxious. I think what he likes most is to be liked. And yeah. Anyone who doesn't like him is immediately the enemy. And also, he was, being from New York, I always knew him as a shady businessman and someone who just stepped on whoever he could to get ahead. Mm-hmm. I think he's trying a little bit of that in politics. And for many people, that's refreshing because they're like, he's going to help us with our lives and he's going to step over this Hollywood, this Washington kind of elitist swamp, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, breaking all the rules.
Yeah, I know.
Doing all the things. But, you know, I'm curious to see what, was it the, it's not the Attorney General, it's the Inspector General, the IG, the acting IG will be, he had wanted to speak to Congress, or to the Congress, what is it, the Congress, the teams of the Congress. Anyway, long story short, he's got something to say, and it's very, very important that he's going to be speaking to them today. So we might find out some new or interesting information in real time as we move forward. But coming up this hour, we're going to talk about Helen Mirren. She had some really interesting remarks about binary sexuality that I think you guys would find interesting. Plus, a singer on the subway in, I think of all places, is it L.A. or is it New York subway?
I thought it was New York.
It might be New York, but that being said, oh no, it's an L.A. subway. That's what would gag me.
Yeah, I didn't even realize.
There's this, because I was about to say, singers in the subway in New York, not uncommon.
Yeah,
singers
LA
in the subway here, a little more uncommon.
Yeah, but her story is like a Cinderella story. It's
a great story, so we're going to share it with you guys. Plus, times in your life when you should have paid better attention, this kid learned the lesson the hard way, but actually ended up coming up on top. So how was your day yesterday?
It was so good. It was so cozy. They were redoing my kitchen, and so my friends...
Do you feel rich when that happens?
Yeah, I feel so cute.
Because every time you say that, I imagine a grand, huge kitchen. You know what I mean?
No, they're doing... Honestly,
I
it looks it. Beautiful.
I want
someone
to redo my kitchen.
I know. It looks so good. So my Gus, I call him Gus. He's my husband. He is in town. He does
Who's
two
this?
Weeks. Jason. He's amazing. I don't know if you've met him.
No, I don't think so.
His boyfriend is the one that found me my cute little place. We live down the street
cute.
From each other.
Yeah, yeah.
So he, and 2 weeks, he's usually in New York, and 2 weeks, he's in LA. So he was in town, and we love getting ready for the holidays. So he made me this gorgeous dinner last night.
Nice.
And we just like hung out on the couch and we're so cozy. It was so nice. I'm like ready. I feel like I'm totally ready for fall.
Good. And are you ready for some news on the beat?
Yes, I am.
Fantastic. Michaela Gordon, what are people talking about?
All right, guys. Well, if you are celebrating a birthday, you are celebrating with some pretty famous people. Happy birthday to Kelly Ripa today. Happy birthday to Sting. And then happy birthday, this is an odd mix, Gandhi. Happy birthday. You share your birthday with Gandhi. All right, you guys. Well, we talked about having so much in the news, and we're going to talk more about that, particularly Trump, in the next hour. But for right now, pharmaceutical giant Johnson & Johnson said it finally reached a $20.4 million settlement with two Ohio counties. In the settlement with Cuyahoga and Summit counties, the company admits no wrongdoing. Johnson & Johnson will also give $5.4 million to nonprofit groups in connection with opioid-related programs. The settlement comes as a landmark opioid trials, and they're set to start later this month, that combines nearly 2,000 cases involving cities, counties, communities, and tribal lands. It accuses drug manufacturers, distributors, pharmacies, and practitioners of shipping hundreds of millions of suspicious and opioid doses over 20 years to their jurisdictions. All right, you guys. Well, listen, it's going to be really fun going into the rest of this year. It's holiday season. But before we celebrate Halloween, I want to remind you that it's National Coming Out Day, and we want to send you and a friend. We want to fly you guys out to the home of Channel Q, Los Angeles, California, for a weekend getaway, and we'll take you out in West Hollywood for happy hour at the world-famous Abbey, put you up in an amazing hotel, and give you two tickets to LA's biggest event of the year, We Can Survive concert, where you can see Taylor Swift, Lizzo, the Jonas Brothers, Camila Cabello, and more. Just head on over to wearechannelq.com for your chance to win tickets. All right, you guys, coming up, there's no binary sexuality according to this Hollywood icon, and we're talking about it coming up next.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
Now, do you watch Helen Mirren's work? Do you like her?
Not particularly. I do like her. I just don't watch, as we all know, I have seen hardly any movie or television show.
Well, she's fantastic. I actually really, I love her, because the new face she's giving women of a certain age. Well, anyway, she's an Oscar winner, as you know, for I think it was Elizabeth that she won for. And she says there's no such thing as binary sexuality when you're male or female. She said, I don't believe in that at all. Now, she says she came to that conclusion after working as a, you know, in TV and film. Actually, she started in the Royal Shakespeare Company in the late 1960s. But basically, from then on, she observed that an awful lot of actors have male and female within them, which helped her transform her view on gender and sexuality. And she said a lot of great actors, great masculine actors, are actually very feminine, and great heartthrobs have very present feminine side to them. A lot of strong female actors have a strong male side to them. So do you find that to be true? Everyone has got a little bit of each gender kind of living within?
Yeah, I do. I didn't ever think about it the way that she's saying, but it is true. I know that even sometimes for myself, I'm very feminine, but I do have masculine qualities about me. I think there's a nice balance. The same for Lisa, I feel like, although she is closer to her more masculine side, she's got a lot of femininity as well.
Yeah. And even we had this discussion kind of with John Duff, who was a pop star friend of yours, former American Idol contestant. Yeah. And that's kind of the basis of his music at the moment, kind of exploring what the constructs of gender are. And what I think is fascinating about it is I sort of ebb and flow, and I like that at different moments I can lean to one part of who I am, and then kind of shift over to another part of who I am. But it's all kind of living within me at the same time. It's just at different moments, it feels more appropriate to express myself a little bit more this way, and you know, paint with that color of who I am on that day. Just kind of, I like having this little bit sort of ebb and flow. I'm not always the same note.
Yeah, I think that we were taught growing up that you should just be one way. Like, women should.
I don't know. Cook, were you a tomboy?
Clean. Yeah, I mean, I had all boys in my family.
And you were a soccer player and all that. You were checking all the boxes.
I was doing all of it.
Were you ever told, like, hey, don't do that, it's for boys? Or no?
Thankfully, no. That was never, like, any rhetoric in my house. I could do whatever I wanted. But I know that a lot of, you know, at least even with my mom, she grew up in an Italian household. And for sure with her, they wanted her to be very feminine, not do anything that the boys did.
Can I talk to you about parenting for a second? Because you are so protective over those you love. If you had a little boy who, you know, kind of was a little bit more non-binary in terms of what the kind of things he enjoyed, like whether he just liked a long t-shirt, you know, and he wanted to wear high tops with that, or, you know what I mean? Like, where it's not necessarily a dress, but it's somewhere in the middle. Like, would you encourage that? Because I think the non-binary thing is somewhere in the middle of just feeling comfortable. And we have a designer coming up in a bit who is the who's going to be doing an LGBTQ+ non-binary fashion show for Fashion Week and all that stuff. And her name is, is Kick Casey. Nick. I'm looking at this computer crazy. Nick Casey will be joining us to discuss this very topic.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's a trend.
Well, my nephew, it's funny because he's going to be 10. And just a few weeks ago, he wanted to wear an outfit, but he wanted to wear a pink shirt. And my brother was like, no. Like, my brother freaked out. He's like, no, I don't want you to wear a pink shirt. And my sister-in-law was like, he's wearing the pink shirt. Like, we're not doing this. Like,
but also pink is like, don't businessmen wear pink shirts?
Yeah, I mean, you would think, but it was the weirdest thing. And so then And he's like very
pink,
into
like
art.
Pink makes us gay.
Yeah, like that's the one. That's the thing.
Jesus, if that was, I'd be giving guys I liked in high school all these pink shirts. But I'd wear this one time.
Yeah,
you'll
but
never
you know
what hit you.
Also, it's still to my brother's defense. That's a lot of people's mentalities.
That's how we grew
you know,
up too.
And
yeah.
But with his son, you know, he's watching his son, and he's like, I don't. Is that? If he's too creative or artsy, you know.
Because I'm curious about gender non-binary clothing, meaning you and I could wear the same look, and it's not necessarily male, and it's not necessarily
female.
Well,
look at Billie Eilish.
That's what I'm kind of
going for.
I mean,
I feel like she embraces her femininity while still dressing the way that she wants to and hiding all of the... quote-unquote, you know, body.
Yeah. Well, I love the idea of it because I think it... much like private school, when you have to wear uniforms, it takes away a bit of the... focus on the sexuality part of it all.
Yeah.
But I'm fascinated to have the... I actually really like... I mean, I don't consider Jonathan Van Ness's... I feel like he wears more women's clothing.
Yeah.
So I'm talking more just kind of like that where you can't really tell... The garment is the garment. And it doesn't necessarily scream male. It doesn't scream female. But I love a little window into that. I honestly wish, truly, truly, truly wish that there was like a really great middle of the road designer like a Zara or something that had like kilts or something. I wouldn't mind that with some combats. Geez, great oversized sweater for winter.
Yeah.
Just me, you know, if I need to get a cab, I raise the knee a little bit, you know.
Listen, just go to those Goodwill stores. They have got some of the cutest
skirts. Dude, it is. I'm scared to style it. Like, I want to see a picture and then just copy it for a little while until I figure out how to be a little more non-binary, just in my aesthetic, because I think it would reflect my personality. I mean, some days you want to look like a, you know, total stud, and some days you're like, yeah, I want to look like I'm picking daisies in the forest, and I enjoy that. So, you know, it is what it is. All right, so coming up, where are we going? This
story's amazing.
Now, is this you?
This was me.
Because
honestly, I related so hard to this story. I actually feel like I've been doing it all wrong, and I should have been doing what this lady's been doing, because she got the record deal I've been waiting
and
for.
And her voice went viral, and it's a very heartwarming story.
Yeah, stick around with a new channel cue.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
Maybe you've seen the video, maybe you've seen this conversation being had online, but it was news to me as of yesterday. There's a woman, Zamorka? Do we think that's how we say it?
Yeah.
Okay. She moved from Russia to the U.S. about 24 years ago and ended up on the streets when she suffered serious health problems, and she'd pay for her medical bills. Well, she's an artist who plays piano and violin, and she even taught lessons. That's how she made her way, and she was forced to take up numerous jobs while basically trying to figure out how to make ends meet. She had a violin that was worth about $10,000 that she would play, and unfortunately it was vandalized and ruined. And this video of her singing went viral. Let's have a listen to this. Her, and this is in the LA subway, by the way. I mean,
it's beautiful.
She says, I'm sleeping actually on the cardboard right now in the parking lot. I am sleeping where I can sleep. I have people that feel sorry for me, but I don't want to burden anybody.
You know what's interesting, too? Not only is her voice beautiful, she's actually so beautiful, too. And it's a really great example of, like, this is reality. Like, people just fall hard on their luck.
So a GoFundMe page was set up for her, it's already raised about just shy of $3,000 in like 24 hours as of when this story was posted. Basically, this guy named Michael Trujillo, he was watching the news, and he felt inspired to set up this GoFundMe page for her. But she now has enough money to basically get off the streets for at least for a while and sort of get back on her feet. About $30,000 raised for her. She's 52 years old. And I'm sure she was surprised at this sort of outpouring of love. She even got a booking. I don't know if you heard about this. In Little Italy in San Pedro, she was invited to perform, and so they're going to fly her out. They're going to pay her for her time. They're going to get her a hotel room.
I love people. Yeah. I love that this happened. I mean, it's crazy to me. I'm looking at her timeline, and she, like you said, was a classical violinist and pianist, and she was doing okay. She moved to LA LA in 91. She was teaching and giving music lessons until about 2016. She came up on hard times with medical bills, and while she was playing her violin to make extra cash, somebody stole it from her, and then that's like when it all went downhill.
Yeah, I think they vandalized, they destroyed it.
Yeah.
There's a picture of her crying over the destroyed.
Oh, my
it's
gosh.
So sad. I know. And you know what's really incredible is that people's hearts were touched and they wanted to do, I mean, good thing, listen, she plays piano and violin, and then if you don't have both, good thing you can sing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if the violin's gone, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And so anyway, she's now on her way. But, you know, it makes us think the homeless crisis is so huge, especially in major cities like here in Los Angeles. And it often feels like there's such disparity between those who have and those who don't. And, you know, the answers are not coming from, I think, this administration. Didn't Trump just weigh in and say it was disgraceful that there were homeless people on the streets? You know,
it was disgusting.
It's sad because rents are rising, and unfortunately, you know, jobs just don't pay what people can use to pay for rent when they have to juggle two jobs, you know?
Well, I learned a lot from this story. I learned that people are so kind and loving still, and I also learned that I've just been doing it completely wrong. I'm going to the subway after this. I don't play a violin.
What do you play? Just do Carrie Underwood hits and you'll be fine.
Yeah, my karaoke machine.
That's right.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela. The new Channel Q.
I don't know what was wrong with me when I was a kid, but I think I remember playing in the playground once, and they had these like cement... They wouldn't have them now because kids would hurt themselves, but they had these cement sort of like round, they look like bowls. There's no other way to describe them. We were meant to sort of play in them. And I was running, didn't see it, flipped over.
Oh, no.
And hit my nose and was super bloody. That's when I deviated my septum. Anyway, that being said, I had a hard time breathing in athletics. I just couldn't get the air in my nose. And so I remember doing a run, I think it was like fourth grade, like one of those, like, you know, run for blah, 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 and you get like trophies and. I was last, and there was by the car. Like, there was a car behind me, you know, to make sure I got... I could barely make it through.
Oh, my God. That's kind of the way to do it, though. If you're going to do it, make sure a car's behind you in case anything
so
happens.
I mean, so embarrassing.
I think it's smart.
It wasn't my choice. I was just the last one.
No, I'm just saying, at 31 now, you actually were, like, blessed. That's a good way to run a marathon.
I was blessed if I could have gotten in the car.
Yeah.
But, you know, that all changed. But for me, I don't remember liking running when I was a kid. Did you like it?
Yeah, I did. I mean, like I said, I played soccer for a long time.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
And I loved it. I do remember, though, there was one time where we had to run a marathon, and... Oddly enough, I did not properly do it. I started sprinting. And I sprinted from the bat. And I was like, ha, I'm beating everybody. Mm-mm. And then I was like, oh my God, I'm so tired.
Yeah.
And I'm not even a quarter way through it. And I definitely lost.
Well, listen, St. Francis Franny Flyer 10K run. Was that the run you did?
Yeah, that was the one, actually.
It was the St. Francis Franny Flyer.
I actually did. I went to St. Francis.
Oh. Well,
I did.
Well, the St. Francis Franny Flyer 10K run, Cade Lowell, he never dreamed that he would win that 10K run. He's a 9-year-old boy. until he was about halfway through the race. This, all, by the way, happens in St. Cloud. At Minnesota, the fourth grader was supposed to be running in the 5K. It was just about a 3.1-mile race, but a volunteer told him to go the wrong way, and he wound up on the longer course. He says, I was a little confused, but I was like, okay, I'm just going to listen to her. I'm just going to listen. And he realized that what happened was he saw a 10K, which would be about 6.2-mile sign, at the turnaround area, and he noticed that the runners around him were all adults. So he said, I'm just going to keep running. I want to get to the finish line. Well, his mom had been waiting for him to finish the shorter race and was getting more and more worried as the minutes passed. She's like, he should be here by now. This is so weird. Maybe he's having a really bad race. But, you know, Cade's pretty fast. I mean, he set the 5K record for his age last year. So his mom was surprised to see the slow people coursing, like, you know, finishing before him. And she went on to say, I know that he should be in the front of these people, blah, blah, blah. But it turns out he took the wrong turn and still beat a bunch of folks.
I think this is so cute. First of all, I feel so bad because the mom was like terrified not knowing where her son was.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, he's just trying to get through the race.
Yeah.
That's good though. He might have a career in this.
He ended up doing the 10K.
You know? at 9.
He's never even done 6.2 miles in practice, his mom said. It just goes to show you, though, the power of adrenaline. When you're in the moment, you can really rise to the occasion sometimes and surprise
yourself.
Yeah,
even at 9. Well, she also said that he took a nice long bath and then he just chilled on the couch. Poor baby.
Remember the days.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Do you ever treat yourself when you do something super athletic and you're like, I'm going to treat myself?
Yeah, well, I do. When I go to the gym, if I go 5 days in a row.
Just like then I get ice cream.
I know. I'll go get like a really deep tissue massage and I love it. But it's also really
like
good for you.
Yeah.
I mean, it hurts so bad.
Where do you get a massage?
I'm just trying
to imagine you walking in saying, I'd like a deep tissue.
There's this place in Sunset Plaza.
Uh-huh.
It's amazing. It's so cute, affordable. I take Jenny's there.
Let's talk about this. What do you think massage rates should be? Because there's an app called Soothe, and theirs is like $100.
I love Soothe, but I don't want to pay $100. I'd like to pay $45.
So, you know, like sometimes at spas and stuff, it's like $180, if not upwards in the $200s, just for like a 50-minute massage.
Yeah, but not when I'm looking, honey. I pay $45, 60 minutes,
ooh,
and it's amazing. However, I do think if they kill it, you have to tip them well because
yes.
I feel like my hands would be so tired.
Yes.
You're using your entire
People
body.
People who don't tip masseurs, I'm like, there's a special place in hell for you. Speaking of a place in hell, the Trump administration is freaking out right now. I'm just kidding. So we have Samuel Garrett Pate coming in to talk about all this breaking news coming out of Washington. He's from Equality, California, and he's our political expert. So we'll go there with him after this. So let me tell you about my car troubles. I went to interview Kathy Griffin. Hopefully that interview for Extra will air this week. But I was at her house and I thought, well, okay, the driveway was fully packed. And you know those like celebrity homes that are in nice neighborhoods? It's just gate in front of it. And so we all, the crew, myself, her assistant, we're all parked like sort of within the parameters of the gate. But I would have had to back out and there's like a hill. And I was like, I can't do this. Even my reverse camera, I was like, I'm going to hit something. I'm feeling weird. So I'm going to dart into this underground garage, turn around, and this way just drive head out first. Girl, when I went in the underground garage, only to realize that it's another bunch of cars stacked in there, I had to slowly reverse out.
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday. So what ended up happening? You took it to Lexus and
in case they're new listeners, can't take for granted that we spoke about it already.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I knocked over my little fin, my top fin. The radio popped off. So literally, I have something needs to be buffed out, scratch, and the radio is completely off. I take it to Lexus. Also because the light was on. Do you get a light? Do you have a maintenance on your car and it says must maintain your cars every 6 months?
Yeah, thankfully it hasn't come on.
Oh, my God. So every 6 months when you lease a car, you have to take it back to the dealership and they do your oil or your tires and do all the business, right? Well, when I first leased the car, I decided to go in the all-in plan, which means you just pay ahead of time for the maintenance for the entire time you lease the car so that every 6 months, you don't have to pay. Girl, they tried to charge me $1,200. To replace the oil and do all the business. And I was like, are you sure? I've never had to pay this before.
No.
Couldn't afford. I was like, I'm not going to throw down $1,200 for something that I thought was already free. This guy must have been about 24 years old. Lovely. But he was like, oh, I see. Oh, no, you already had that for free. My bad, bro.
And then he was like, it's all good.
Yes. But then you know what else he said? We don't work here. We just maintain them. So we're going to need to send you to our auto body person, and they'll give you a quote. And I'm like, you already tried to charge me. I don't trust your auto body person now.
Honestly, I am not envious of you. Car trouble, it's the worst trouble. I don't like to talk to them, especially as a woman.
You
I'm
don't
like,
trust.
Oh, my God, don't tell me
I already told him I was gay. I told him what happened. I was interviewing the celebrity. It was bad. And so I realized I just feel distrusting of car people.
Yeah, but also, it makes you, how mad does it make you? This is not to make it worse. When you make the mistake yourself, you're responsible for taking the fin off your own car.
I literally backed into the garage door was coming down and it just plopped it off. But I had no business being down in her garage.
I know, but it just makes it worse. Like when I do something wrong and I have to pay for the lesson, I'm like, ugh.
You know what I could have done? Like the other person getting in their car, I'd be like, hey, can you direct me? I'm just going to back out. Can you direct me? But as a freaking guy, that was my first one.
That's
Yay!
Okay. It happens. You made it through the year.
Yeah. 1 year without any problems. As a guy,
cars will do it
could
too.
Not get out of my own way to just say, hey, I need a little help over here. Can you just help me? I was like, no, I'm going to do this.
I know.
What's wrong with me?
No. You got to ask for help. I always ask for help. I'm also one of those drivers. I'm so sorry, Los Angeles. It takes me forever to back out of a parking space.
Oh, no.
It takes me forever to parallel park.
Different. Your big car, small car, or it doesn't matter?
When it's in Lisa's car, Lisa's car is so little, so it's easier.
Yeah.
My Jeep's rough.
Yeah, now I have an SUV that they've given me overnight till I get my car today. And I got to tell you, I'm driving like Mr. Magoo, 10 and 2. Anyway. All right, long story short, this is our political hour. Sam McGarrett, Pay for Me, Quality California. We'll be joining us to talk about some of the biggest headlines that are coming out of Washington. But till we get there, it is time for some news on the beat. Michaela Gordon, what are people talking about?
All right, guys. Well, a federal judge upheld Harvard's admission process after a group representing Asian American applicants challenged it. The group argued at trial that the school's personal rating system hurts Asian Americans and favors Blacks and Hispanics, who generally have lower standardized test scores than Asian Americans. The judge ruled that the university's admissions process, while not perfect, is still constitutional. But this is probably not the end of this closely watched case. It's likely to be appealed and end up in the Supreme Court. All right, you guys. Pharmaceutical giant Johnson & Johnson said it reached a $20.4 million settlement with two Ohio counties. In the settlement with Cuyahoga and Summit counties, the company admits no wrongdoing. Johnson & Johnson will also give $5.4 million to nonprofit groups in connection with opioid-related programs. The settlement comes as a landmark opioid trial is set to start later this month that combines nearly 2,000 cases involving cities, counties, communities, and tribal lands. It accuses drug manufacturers, distributors, pharmacies, and practitioners of shipping hundreds of millions of suspicious opioid doses over 20 years to their jurisdictions. Now, you guys, we have a lot to cover in Trump news, so I'm going to hold off because coming up this hour, we're talking to Samuel Garrett-Pate about his recent comments about immigrants and also the impeachment inquiries, what's happening with Mike Pompeo. But before we get into some serious political business, I want to remind you of fun times in support of National Coming Out Day and the one-year anniversary of Channel Q. We're flying you and a friend out to the home of Channel Q, Los Angeles, California, for a weekend getaway. We'll take you out in West Hollywood for happy hour at the world-famous Abbey, put you up in an amazing hotel, and give you two tickets to LA's biggest event of the year, We Can Survive concert at the Hollywood Bowl. You can bring your mom, you can bring your best friend, you can bring your boyfriend, you can bring your girlfriend.
That person you met on Grindr or
Tinder. Yes. Mm. We encourage it. we want you to have a good time. So go to wearechannelq.com to enter to win. And of course, for more details coming up, we'll be joined by our political expert, Samuel Garrett-Pate, discussing the latest on this impeachment, the inquiries, and Mike Pompeo. Stick around. We are the new Channel Q.
Out of Washington. This weekend, you name it, it has been crazy. Things have been happening in real time. News programs that are normally planned and all perfectly laid out have suddenly said, we're going to need to stop our programming and just report in real time to try to keep up with the president's tweets to fact check them. Mm-hmm. Because we have a liar in chief at the moment. Mm-hmm. Sorry, my opinion, not necessarily that of intercomradio.com, but definitely probably the opinion of Channel Q. That being said, Samuel Garrett-Pate from Equality California joins us now to unpack some of this craziness. Welcome back, Samuel.
Hi, Samuel.
Good morning.
So let's dive in. Now, let's start with the whistleblower situation. Mike Pompeo, I believe, said yesterday that, you know, people were not going to come in to be deposed. He's since done a 180. What is going on with sort of the whistleblower status as the Trump administration basically tries to discredit this whistleblower?
Sure. So, I think we should remind people that the whistleblower is now, at least as of yet, is two for two. So in terms of the allegations that were made in the whistleblower's complaint that have then come to light, the whistleblower has been proven correct in two of their allegations. The whistleblower has not been proven wrong in anything.
Wow.
And so, of course, the Trump administration and their allies in Congress, their only play here is to throw up strawman arguments and things like that to try to discredit the whistleblower. They don't know who the whistleblower is, so it's rich for them to be out there talking about how the whistleblower is somehow a political operative or associated with the Democratic Party, or that the whistleblower's sources are that. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is what we all know about the whistleblower is that he or she is a member of the intelligence community a professional who clearly is at the highest levels of the intelligence community with access to some of the, you know, most classified information in the intelligence community. And this is a person who's clearly concerned about our national security and whether or not the president is abusing the power of his office.
Well, I'm going to ask the obvious question, but Mikhail and I were nervous because we're like, it seems like the president's threatening this whistleblower person.
And I can't, because aren't there rules to protect whistleblowers?
Of course there are. But the president, there are also rules against witness tampering and obstruction of justice, and we know that the president has ignored those in the past. Remember, we've talked about this on the show before. One of Nixon's articles of impeachment was obstruction of Congress. It is an obstructive act to impede a congressional investigation.
How are they able to do this so overtly? And we're with Sam McGarrett, Pay from Equality California, talking about this whistleblower situation. I know that you and I were like, this feels like an episode of like some political drama.
Oh my God, I can't keep up. It's like better than reality television.
I mean, I don't even know where we go from here, because I immediately thought of the safety of this whistleblower. But now that they're two for two, I mean, what are the next steps? I know that the State Department's Inspector General requested an urgent briefing today with congressional staff members. What the heck is going on there?
You know, I look, this is why Veep ended. They couldn't possibly keep up with this. I mean, yeah. Rudy Giuliani tweeted that he wants to sue members of Congress because they think that the impeachment inquiry is unfair.
And I just tried to look for that tweet.
Yeah, he deleted it.
He got nervous.
Of course he did.
Yep.
Because any, you know, decent lawyer who's representing the president of the United States would know that the Supreme Court has repeatedly ruled that they have no review over impeachment.
Right.
Impeachment, you know, there's a lot of talk about impeachment being a political question, and I think there's certainly an argument to be made that politics is a factor, but the founders did not intend for impeachment to be a quote-unquote political question or political act. It's a legal act. It is the act that the founders laid out in the Constitution for Congress to try and ultimately remove a president, just as they laid out the legal process for convicting someone of a crime and everything else. It's legal in that this is how Congress decides whether or not a president has committed high crimes and misdemeanors. Congress has the ability to determine what high crimes and misdemeanors are. Rudy Giuliani may not like that he has clearly committed some pretty serious malpractice in representing the president, but that doesn't change the fact that Congress has done nothing improper here.
Yeah.
There's nothing to sue them for. And even if he did, it would get thrown out pretty quickly because, the courts have no review over it. Congress is the sole actor in this, that they get to determine whether or not the president committed high crimes and misdemeanors and whether or not he should be removed from office.
Well, right. If you guys are just tuning in, we are with Sam McGarrett-Pate. Now, coming up, we want to talk about Trump's new allegations about people at the border, particularly shooting migrants in the legs. And we want to go in depth with that coming up with Sam McGarrett-Pate.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. It is Woke Wednesdays, our little chat time with Sam McGarrett-Pate, who is the communications director for Equality California. We just went to their gala this weekend, had a lot of fun, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. So, Samuel, now the New York Times is reporting that Trump, amid all this sort of all these things that's happening with the possible pending impeachment inquiries and all that business, was actually chatting about the influx of undocumented immigration that's coming from the South. He had some choice words about it. Michaela, you were trying to tell us about this morning.
I mean, literally said, "Just shoot migrants in their legs as they're trying to cross the border." That you summed it up. That's what he said.
So
what does that even mean?
So you remember this is back in March when the president was threatening to shut down the U.S.-Mexico border, and we talked about this on the show, and we were especially people in California were talking about it for quite a while because, in two of the San Diego ports of entry alone, there are about 1.5 million people who go across the border every single day. Right. For work, for school, for tourism and shopping and trade. I mean, shutting down the border would have trapped tourists in Mexico, Mexican tourists in the U.S. Right. would have trapped kids who go to school on each side of the border. So the whole thing is absurd, as is much of what he said. But yes, then he went on to say, well, couldn't we just shoot migrants in the legs to slow them down?
Oh my God.
Which is awful.
Honestly,
absurd. We know that this president doesn't have empathy for other people.
Yeah.
Certainly not people of color. Certainly not immigrants.
The one idea that I think Michaela and I were like, really? That he wanted to, thought maybe a moat filled with snakes and alligators at the border. Would be good too.
Yeah, I mean, between doing that and these, I'm also on his Twitter right now as we're talking.
Twitter.
And I mean, it's just the things that he says. I think that's what's. You're never not surprised, but with the border and now he's talking about Adam Schiff and he just goes crazy on these crazy rants. But it makes you wonder, like, is there any truth? Will he put alligators and snakes at the border? Like, how far
like,
will he go?
Yeah.
He's been watching too much Peter Pan. did you see the tweet though, where he tried to argue that that the mainstream media was so stupid because they didn't realize that he hadn't spelled little wrong because he had put a hyphen there when it was really an apostrophe.
What?
Oh no!
So he was making fun of mainstream media for not clocking him on his tweet for spelling it wrong.
He spelled it wrong, and then he said he meant to say apostrophe, but he wrote hyphen.
Wow.
Something like that. Anyway.
Yeah, that's your president of the United States.
It was so many things.
Yeah.
Well, it was so many things.
I wanted to ask you as well. Now, these are probably completely false rumors, but Hillary Clinton gave a great interview with Chelsea Clinton, her daughter, on a late night show the other night. But she said that everything that he's doing, like, is completely wrong, which obviously it is. Do you think that it just for fun, she'd come back and try to get back into the race for president?
No.
Yeah, I think we're too far gone.
We're just too far gone.
Yeah. But as a question,
it's
you know.
Too far gone. But I mean, but I do wake up every morning and think, like, maybe it was all a dream. Maybe she's president.
Yeah. Well, she unfortunately is not a presidential candidate. But what's going on now with our presidential candidates? Also, we saw a lot of them in their videos, like Elizabeth Warren, at the Incredible Equality Awards. It was wonderful how you guys did it. Joe Biden gave a great video he sent in, Elizabeth Warren. Can we talk about some of the highlights and the money that was raised at the awards?
Yeah, so on Saturday, Equality California had our biggest Equality Awards of the year in LA. Thank you both for coming and
great,
being
yeah.
there and
we
opening up the show. Great moment of you two hugging Mayor Garcetti on stage. We raised $1 million, which is incredibly exciting, and all that money goes toward our work fighting for
talk about your work a little bit because Equality California we reference it so often there might be people outside of state who aren't aware that exactly what the work is.
Sure. So we're the largest statewide LGBTQ civil rights organization in the country. We passed pro equality legislation. So as of this year, we've now passed 150 bills in California that help protect LGBTQ people's civil rights, help make sure that LGBTQ kids in school are safe, things like that. We've been around for 20 years, and not only do we help pass legislation, but we also help to elect leaders who will fight for our community So electing leaders like city council members and mayors, but also electing leaders to go to Congress and fight for us in Washington, D.C. And we're suing the president to block the trans military ban. So,
yay. And Matt, in fact,
lots of great work.
The gentleman that was honored who is a part of that lawsuit, we'd love to have on the show sometimes if you can make that connection.
Oh,
because
yes, please.
I found
that was amazing.
What he was sharing
right now. Actually.
Yeah, we were. That was a very moving part of the Equality California night that we were with you, where he was sharing being a trans man and wanting to fight for our country. And the fact that he's a part of this lawsuit, I just was like, we need to share his story.
Yeah. There were so many stories that were shared. It was so amazing. Samuel Garrett-Pate, thank you for letting us be involved. I'm so happy that you guys raised $1 million. That's huge. Also, Anna Navarro was incredible.
Oh,
we could not stop talking about her. She was fire. Jill Soloway was wonderful as well. But thank you so much for letting us be a part of such a special night.
All right. Well, Samuel, we'll chat with you next week. Thanks for lending us your time. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a good one.
Now, bye, honey.
Imagine, Michaela, you're driving down the freeway. Okay, you see a billboard. It's a moving billboard.
Got it.
Right, so it's motion. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute. Are they playing Naked Leapfrog? But they're not. They're doing something else, and it's on a billboard. So we'll talk about it after this.
Yes.
Killer Gordon, let me look at your search history.
No. Honestly.
What are you looking up?
No, don't. Because why? I'm so upset. I was in the car the other day.
Because you've been home alone for weeks, so I don't know what might be on there.
Well, I was in the car. Oh, my God. This is mortifying, actually.
What'd you
do? I don't even want to say it.
What'd you do?
I was in the car the other day.
Yep.
And Chester got into my car, and he said, hey, call my dad, because I'm close with his parents. And I was like, okay. And I was on the phone, on his phone with his dad, and we had to go somewhere. So he went to use my phone to type in where the directions
were. This all sounds very safe.
And I forgot to close the browser, and he like screamed, were you watching porn? And his dad was on the phone, who I was speaking to, and then I was mortified.
I'll clap at that.
Honestly, thank you. Well, first of all, thank you. Go on. But I was so embarrassed. Like, and even though, like, it's still kind of embarrassing.
It's kind of amazing. Well,
have people
listen.
Found anything on your phone? Has that ever happened to you?
Oh, yes. There was one time I was trying to pull up a video on my phone. Halloween?
It was Halloween.
Halloween. Wicked last year. And listen. Listen. In search of a video of one thing, a video of other things showed up. And I was like, no. And you just can't get it to stop.
I'm telling you, that panic is nothing like it.
Gosh. Anyway, well, Michigan drivers got more than they bargained for after two pranksters allegedly took over a billboard with some risque material. Now, this is according to Michigan's Auburn Hills Police Department. Around 10:50 at night on September 28th, two individuals broke into a small building which is underneath the digital billboard on the side of I-75. Now, once inside, they somehow managed to hack the billboard and used it to play porn.
I mean, that's just such a stupid thing to do. Like, you break in and do all of that just to put porn.
These responses, because people filmed it, and they were like, y'all, someone was playing porn, the billboard of I-75. I am dying. And anyway, so it ran for about 15 to 20 minutes before it was eventually shut down. Yes, because officers arrived at the scene, and they witnessed the video being played and displayed, and they were able to contact emergency contact for the private business, which actually operates the sign, and they were able to shut it down. That's why it took so long. But
how do you call that in? Like,
girl,
hey, 911.
Here's my favorite part, which I think you'll relate
some
to.
Porn.
They contacted the two performers in the video.
Oh my God.
One of whom explained to the publication that she was mainly concerned about the driver's safety. She goes, yeah, that's me. I never thought this would happen with my content. And she says, I'm just happy no one was injured.
Honestly, she probably did it. She was looking for a little free press. She threw it up there.
It's a guy and a girl. You can kind of see they're male and female presenting. Anyway, apparently this holds a penalty of 90 days in jail and or about $500 fine.
That's actually a lot.
Yeah, they are facing burglary charges and forced entry into the building, which is also, and then breaking into the computer system, which is a felony.
What a story. Like, 50 Honestly, years from now, you're like, me and your father.
Unless they run their mouths, they'll never get caught.
No, no.
You just can't tell anybody.
No, but then also, do like, right before they, like, are no longer in this life,
yeah, yeah.
I think they should just share the news that it was them. I mean, they're kind of icon. They're an iconic duo.
I'm not mad at this.
I'm not mad at this. I think it's hilarious.
However, don't you think this is an incredible opportunity for you? You hold your phone sideways. You make a Michaela Gordon music video with your social media underneath.
Right.
You literally break into one of these digital billboards. You hijack. You hack it. And for hours, people, you just, maybe you just actually sell real products.
I'm going to be honest.
That billboard is all you selling everything from Depends, being a working mom, to like, you know.
Listen, that girl got a job with Tyler Perry after Tyler Perry tried to tell her that that was not a good idea to put her big old face on a billboard.
And say, I need
a
job from you, Tyler.
So, you know what? Yeah. Lisa, get ready. We're going on the billboards.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. It is Woke Wednesdays. We're just chatting with Sam McGarrett-Pate. Thank you, Samuel, for your insight on political stuff, because sometimes we're just like, what the heck? Although I know we're not alone. We're living in the day and age where you can't even watch the news and get a good grasp of what's happening because it's so muddy.
So muddy. So much going on. Now, apparently, breaking news. Bernie Sanders had to get 2 stints put in his artery.
Oh,
so
gosh.
Now Nancy Pelosi's talking. It's just a lot of a lot.
Honestly, if you have a career in news, God bless you the past couple of years.
Oh, my gosh.
You're busy.
You're busy.
You're booked and blessed.
If you're, like, trying to be the one to break the story.
Forget it.
I don't know if it's possible anymore. That's the other thing, too. I bet you it must be so crazy for news anchors, because before there was social media, it was so easy to prepare to release a story,
and
make
then,
it a big deal, have people sought you out. Now it's like Joe from Instagram at Joe D.
He breaks
broke
it first.
The story. Yeah.
Well, coming up this hour, we're going to be chatting with Nick Casey. They are going to be doing Equality Fashion Week, which we want to shed a little light on. It's an incredible fashion week that really highlights, brings trans, gender nonconforming folks and people who are non-binary into the fashion sphere, and talk about not only their contributions to fashion for a long time now, but also the clothing that has been always pretty much difficult for them to find. Now we've got designers that are just styling and creating looks and designing for the LGBTQ plus and non-binary folks, and that's great that they have a place where they can go to see their looks. I think it's long overdue, and so I can't wait to chat with them about this.
Yeah, they also talk about that they really want to hire only trans models, because so often trans men and women do not get the opportunity, and if they do get the opportunity, they don't get paid the same amount
that
other models get. So that's also their big, what they advocate for as well.
Yeah. And then rounding out the hour, at the end of the hour, we're going to be chatting about Kylie Jenner and Travis Scott. Some big news there. You want to stick around for that. But first, it's time for some news on the beat. So, Michaela Gordon, what are people talking about?
All right, guys. Well, what will the State Department's Inspector General say? That's the question on everybody's mind this morning after the Inspector General requested an urgent private briefing with senior congressional staff members. Now, it's not entirely clear what information the Inspector General will provide in today's briefing, but it's happening. As Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has pushed back on House Democrats' demands to turn over documents related to Ukraine and to depose current and former state officials as part of the impeachment inquiry. Pompeo accused the Democrats of bullying State Department staffers. The Dems said Pompeo needs to stop intimidating witnesses. Meanwhile, President Trump ramped up his anti-impeachment rhetoric and continued his verbal assault on the whistleblower who filed the complaint that alleges the president abused his powers. Trump and his allies repeatedly maligned the whistleblower's motives and pushed to reveal the person's identity. In a tweet yesterday, the president wondered, why are we entitled to interview and learn everything about the whistleblower and also the person who gave all of the false information to him? But GOP Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa criticized Trump on that, saying the whistleblower ought to be heard out and protected. Good Lord. Well, in better news and more exciting news, as we're heading into the holiday season, we want to have one more major party for you, and that is going to happen in support of National Coming Out Day and the 1-year anniversary of Channel Q. We want to fly you and a friend out to the home of Channel Q, Los Angeles, California, for a weekend getaway. We'll take you out in West Hollywood for happy hour at the World Famous Abbey. You can hang with me and Jay, or you don't have to at all. You can be like, listen, I'm with my friend now. I'm with my honey that I brought. Y'all are trying to have a date night. We get it. But we'll put you up in an amazing hotel and give you two tickets to LA's biggest event of the year, We Can Survive concert at the Hollywood Bowl, starring Taylor Swift, Lizzo, the Jonas Brothers, Camila Cabello, and more. Celebrate Channel Q's coming out and national coming out date in LA. Go to wearechannelq.com to enter to win. And of course, for more details. Now, coming up, we are very excited. We always like to find out what's happening within our community. And Nick Casey will be joining us talking about the Equality Fashion Week coming up October 13th. So stick around. We are the new Channel Q.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
The new Channel Q.
Michaela, you know, you and I both kind of like to play with gender in the way we dress. Sometimes, you know, whether it's you with, you know, might be seeing some footwear that might be considered, you know, kind of something a guy would wear. And myself, you know, I like a little glitter. I like to kind of play with the way fashion kind of leans male and female. And I didn't really know much about it, but we actually have an Equality Fashion Week. And you're kind of involved with this. So tell us about it.
Well, this is incredible. So when I was hosting Downtown LA Pride just a few weeks ago, I met this incredible designer. I had already known their work because they have these amazing pieces that I actually want to get for Lisa. And you should get some of them too. They're wonderful. Yeah. But
and they're gender neutral. Like Lisa could wear them. I could wear them.
Absolutely. I could wear them. And so when I met Nick Casey, they were talking to me about Equality Fashion Week. It's their second annual Equality Fashion Week. And I was so interested and intrigued about learning about it. And then I get to now fortunately host it, and I wanted them to come on and talk about it. It's really important. So please help us join Nick Casey. Hi, Nick. Good morning.
Hi. Hello. Good. How are you guys?
Good.
Good morning. So can you break down a little bit for us the importance of Equality Fashion Week and the importance of the models that you choose to use and why?
Absolutely. So Equality Fashion Week is the first LGBTQ-focused fashion week in L.A., which is surprising, right, because we just probably assume that we have one.
Yeah.
And I started it last year, and basically it's really just having a fashion week that's focused on our community and is so inclusive and diverse and gives, you know, folks from our community a platform to shine and show their talents, because we're so underrepresented and often invisible in a lot of mainstream society.
You know, Nick, when we were launching this station, I had a lot of people say, well, why do we need a station for the LGBTQ plus community? And I'm sure that maybe people have thought that before who didn't know about the lack of representation in fashion. Can you speak to us a little bit about that for someone who is non-binary or happens to be of the trans experience? Is it more difficult to get a job, and are they paid the same?
Absolutely not the same, and always we're probably like at the bottom of the totem pole if you look at statistics.
Wow.
And then if you add on like POC, that's like another layer you know, of underrepresentation. And oftentimes if you like, I've been in probably like 7 different types of LGBTQ fashion shows throughout the United States and even in Canada. And my experience has always been that models don't get paid. They're always just volunteers.
Wow.
And that was something that I wanted to change because, you know, during Fashion Week, the models are the most hardworking ones. Like, they spend, you know, so many hours, and yet they don't get paid at all. And so Equality Fashion Week, last year we weren't able to do it because we didn't have the funding. But this year I really wanted to focus on raising the funds so that even if I pay each model, like, $50 to $100, it's something. You
it's
know?
Something, yeah.
Exactly. And it's like we need to teach each other our worth and not expect that we have to do stuff for free just because we're getting quote-unquote exposure.
Amen, Nick. Amen.
Yeah, that's so important. Okay, Nick, so if people want to get involved, can they still donate? Can they still buy a seat at the table for the gala? It's the second annual Equality Fashion Week, October 13th at the Globe Theater.
That's here in L.A.
Here in L.A.
Yeah.
Yes, so if they go to equalityfashionweek.com, they can get tickets, they can learn all about the different events. And another thing that sets us apart is that we have 3 days of pop-ups, because as a designer, I would spend all this money building prototypes to create a collection, show my stuff at a different, you know, fashion week, and then spend all this money, and then it doesn't necessarily result into ROI or any kind of return on investment, right, because you don't necessarily get sales. Mm-hmm. So for me, I wanted to create, you know, time, platforms, and space, a safe space for our community to come and see all the designers and have the designers be able to show their stuff and actually, like, have consultations and sell their merchandise.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's amazing. I also love that you talk about fashion and using it as activism, and that your mission is to utilize fashion as activism in a way that inspires change so that we can all become more equal and not necessarily just see it based off gender. I quickly want to talk about your work also with the Trans Latina Coalition, because you've been committed to raising funds and increasing visibility for that as well. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So, you know, Bambi Salcido is the founder of the Trans Latina Coalition and has always been incredibly inspiring for me and so many others. She's a trailblazer and an icon, you know. And basically, as a trans person of color, I felt like, you know, there was a lot of need for us to help them, to help really any kind of trans nonprofit organizations, because they're the least funded. And so I wanted to use whatever capacity that I can, either from my own personal brand, Nikasey Footwear, or Equality Fashion Week, to help increase the visibility of not even just the organization, but like all of our people, you know, and all of our community.
Of
course. This year, the theme is unity, because more important than ever, we, you know, are in a precipice of our time in our, you know, political phase of,
yeah,
of where we're at, that we need to be united and not just be focused on like the trans experience or,
yeah,
the gay experience or the lesbian experience. It's like we all need to work together and step up and show up.
That's right. And you know what? We're encouraging all our listeners to head on over to equalityfashionweek.com. And in fact, while you are on the computer or your cell phone, why don't you give our friend Nick a view on their website as well. That is nickkacy.com, NikKacy.com. Nick, thank you so much for enlightening us on this topic, and have an incredible time at Equality Fashion Week.
Thank you so much,
thank
Nick.
You.
I'm so excited. October 13th at the Globe Theater. Get your tickets now. Doors open at 6:30. Thank you so much, Nick. I'll see you soon.
Thank you so much.
All right,
talk to you soon.
Bye. Yeah, it's so important. It's crazy because I didn't realize we didn't have an LGBTQ fashion week.
And you know, you and I talk about this a lot, but the idea of being asked to work for free in certain areas, specifically in entertainment or anything in the creative space, you're always asked, well, it's good exposure. And you're like, yeah, but that does not work to pay my bills.
Yeah, there was a queen that just made a real big deal about that. I think we're going to talk more about that tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I'm happy that Nick Casey is making a change. All right, now coming up, guys, a Tennessee teen committed suicide. We talk about this all the time with cyberbullying. We talk about being a part of the LGBTQ community. But this story is really sad, and
yeah,
I think it's important that we bring some awareness to it. So stick around. We are the new Channel Q.
You know, it's so fascinating. We have this station, so we have this opportunity to talk about things that don't always hit the mainstream media as a main story. And one of the chilling facts about being part of the LGBTQ community is to realize that upwards of 2 million LGBTQ plus youth contemplate suicide every year. It's what the Trevor Project is calling conservative and conservative estimate, which meaning probably more than 2 million kids, it's crossed their mind. And as the 2019 study found that a quarter of all young adolescent suicides ages 12 to 14 may be LGBT youth, and roughly 50% trans boys, 42% non-binary kids, and 30% of trans girls have attempted suicide at least once. Those numbers are why we want this station to be a place where we can have a party, but also with a purpose. Sadly, a Tennessee teen, Channing Smith, who died by suicide last week, it just sounded all too familiar to several other moms who lost their own sons. And we report on this all the time. Again, this young man was bullied in school, but there were national headlines. And back in 2010, when this kid named Tyler took his own life after his roommate at Rutgers University covertly filmed and broadcasted a dorm room hookup of his. So, you know, so many parents are coming together and they're trying to get some kind of legislation going to help these kids online and offline bullying, just for that to stop. And there needs to be some kind of consequences.
Yeah, it's devastating. It's, again, another story. Nigel Shelby, that beautiful little boy, he was an Alabama high school freshman. He also died by suicide. He faced bullying from classmates. And even as far as unsympathetic school administrators who had allegedly told him being gay was a choice. You know, we forget that you can get bullied by your classmates, but you can also be bullied by your your own teachers and administration not willing to hear you out, not doing anything about the fact that you are getting bullied, if you are going to them and letting them know that you are in some sort of trouble.
And let's just, you know, the word bullying, it feels like it's so overused that our ears are like sometimes dead to it now. Like we don't respond as much. But the truth is, think about it. When, you know, many of us listening right now didn't have social media when we were growing up, and we didn't know the implications of having being made fun of in digital form, where it's in front of everyone's eyes at the same moment as they open it, and then those things carrying on forever. And so it's literally like a permanent kick me hard sign on your back in school, whether the language is about someone's sexual orientation, about their weight, the color of their skin, any kind of other that separates them from the pack. People just load onto that. And like you just said, sometimes it's not always just their peers, it's adults too.
Well, and bullying can come in so many forms. It doesn't have to be you badgering somebody. It could be you not saying something. It could be you watching somebody get bullied and not standing up for them.
Oh, the complicit nature of our society. Remember we were reporting about this kid that got beat up to the point he died, and the kids around him filmed
it. And nobody did anything.
And did nothing.
And that's the other problem with social media. People are using it to just like broadcast and not call, use the phone to actually call for help.
Help, yes.
It's crazy. And so we do have to continue talking about this. The death of Tennessee teen Channing Smith. It was devastating as well because the story was that his texts were exposed, that he was sharing with another boy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just the thought of how humiliated and ashamed he must have felt.
Could you imagine? Listen, we don't, you know, when you show texts of a boy and a girl, you know, that's still embarrassing, but sometimes not to the degree that it is if it happens to be same sex, because of the stigma that's around, still around LGBTQ plus folks.
Yeah, of course, especially if you're in a religious family or in a religious school, and
you just like
you're
cool
getting out.
If your cool clique at school is the loud mouths, and they just don't like that,
yeah,
you know, then you're struggling with being made fun of and everyone falling into line to make fun of you. Well, I want to give out some information now because I know that we all know people who perhaps are going to be at a crossroads of this. I would say for sure, if you know a teen who happens to be LGBTQ plus, maybe connect them with the Trevor Project, or you yourself get just kind of educated, because the world's largest suicide prevention and crisis intervention organization for LGBTQ youth is the Trevor Project, and we support them here on Channel Q. If you think someone might be considering suicide, you know, you can just easily send them the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is 800-273-8255. All these things are easily Googleable, but don't just sit by and be complicit, especially knowing that our LGBTQ plus youth are the most at risk.
That's right. You know, also, we send our love to all of the families that have been affected by this, all the beautiful boys that we just named. And do, if you see something, say something.
And you have kids, teach them compassion.
Yeah.
About the kids in their class that are other, you know, instead of having your kids, you know, just sit by idly, maybe encourage them to step in and be a friend to that kid that people are bullying.
Absolutely. All right, you guys. Well, coming up in What's Poppin', find out why Joaquin Phoenix is admitting that he's embarrassed by his behavior on set. We have some of the inside scoop coming up next.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela. The new Channel Q.
The best in pop culture headlines coming up right now in What's Poppin'. So, Michaela Gordon, what is poppin'?
All right, you guys. Well, we have a lot of good juice for you today, but why are we playing Heart of Glass? Because we love Debbie Harry? Yes. But also, she has come out with a crazy story. I did not know about this. But she was giving an interview. I guess she's spoken about this in the past, but she went into depth in this particular interview last week where she talks about having a meeting and almost became victim to notorious serial killer Ted Bundy. She said way before her fame, she was very young and she was in New York. She was looking for a ride during the time that hitchhiking was not a big deal. It wasn't out of the ordinary, and she saw this handsome looking guy. She got into the car after he offered to give her a ride, and when she got in, she said, "I got in and the windows were rolled up except an inch and a half at the top. I realized there was no door handle, no window crank,
nope.
No nothing." The inside of the car was totally stripped out. The hairs on the back of my neck just stood up. And so she ended up shoving her hand through the crack. And when he noticed that she was trying to open the door, he sped around the corner. And thankfully, the passenger door opened. She jumped out, rolled out. And then the next time she saw him was when he was all over the news as serial killer Ted Bundy. That story tripped me out. That was a lot for me to handle, actually.
Do you trust people, though? Do you get into strangers' cars? Let's say a night out of drinking. You meet some people.
No, I just Uber. That's strange enough.
Honestly, I'm the same way. Like, do you want to ride? I'm like, nope.
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. Have an app. Don't need your help. Thank you. All right, you guys. In other news, unfortunately, it looks like Kylie Jenner and Travis Scott are calling it quits after 2 years. They're more so taking a break. They said that there's a lot of love there. They've shared their beautiful daughter, Stormy, but they just need a little break from each other.
Can I ask you what you think about breaks?
No, I don't agree with them.
I knew you had strong opinions about
breaks. No, honey. So if you want a break, we just break up. How about that? Keep it simple.
Ooh.
Keep it clean. Ooh. All right, you guys, listen. This story we're going to use to finish off what's popping because I don't know how I feel about this story and I'm a little mad. So Joaquin Phoenix is the star of the new movie, The Joker, and he was sitting down with Jimmy Kimmel on Tuesday night talking about the upcoming flick, and the show is directed, the movie's directed by Todd Phillips. Now, Todd Phillips and Jimmy Kimmel are friends. So okay. Just keep that in mind.
Got it.
Joaquin is sitting down, and I want you to remember that this was the role that Heath Ledger played and then unfortunately passed away after
suicide.
Yeah. Because the role was so intense. Joaquin Phoenix is talking, and all of a sudden Jimmy Kimmel said, "Hey, I want to show you
this
something."
Is on the Jimmy Kimmel show.
Yeah, he said, "Hey, I want you to watch this clip." So take a listen to the clip that he shows Joaquin.
Like live.
Like the constant whispering, just shut the up, dude. I'm trying to like find something real. Sorry, it's only such a. It's not a big deal. Yeah, it kind of is. And I know you started the share thing, Larry. Yeah, it's funny making fun of me. Like I'm a diva. It's not even an insult. Share, really? Singer, actor, dancer, fashion icon. How is that an insult?
Okay, so he goes on to then.
So
he sees this clip and he's like, actually, I'm really embarrassed about my behavior, but also that was supposed to be in private. So
he was just preparing for the scene and they were thinking he was taking too long to get to the moment.
Yeah, he's preparing for a very emotional scene and people are whispering and talking on set. And he's like, hey, man, not trying to be rude, but like, I have to get into a dark place.
And who's that guy, Larry? Because he allegedly started this whole calling him Cher as if
he
were a
diva. I loved him, though. He was like, oh, saying it like it's a bad thing, Cher. Cher, singer, dancer, icon, fashionista.
Also, get a good visual of Cher dancing.
I know. I can't get enough. Well, listen, I love Joaquin Phoenix. I know he's going to kill it. Also, I misspoke. Heath Ledger did die of a drug overdose with prescription drugs. I do believe he was on those prescription drugs, though, due to his mental health. And so I hope that Joaquin Phoenix also treads lightly and don't do this kind of stuff. Jimmy Kimmel should have known better. Don't try to blast him.
Yeah, it's also... You know, like, I know Jimmy Kimmel's a jokester, but that's what you do. Sets can be very, very distracting, and they want you just magically transport yourself into this emotional place for an iconic film like The Joker that's going to be seen worldwide. You want to get it right.
Absolutely. All right, you guys, well, coming up next hour, can JVN be the most impactful Queer Eye star? He's opening up and had a lot to talk about with Jimmy Kimmel. So well-spoken. Find out what he's telling us coming up next.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. It's Jay Michaela here, and coming up this hour, JVN, Jonathan Van Ness from the new reboot of Queer Eye. I was on the old one. But he is, I think, in my opinion, the most impactful, culturally impactful Queer Eye star of all 10 of us. And I'll tell you why. He has a recent interview, and I think it's solidified his place in history. But that's just my personal thing on it. Do you feel like there is a, from American Idol, someone who is... really just culturally shifted things or just one of the biggest people that like you can't imagine, you know, not having in the world?
I don't know if she's culturally shifted things, but what I think she's done has been amazing with her career, and that's Kelly Clarkson, particularly with this show. I think a lot of people, you know, it's funny, she was a singer, and then they were like, okay, but go be on The Voice as a judge. And I was like, she'll probably kill it because she's a great singer, but I don't know her personality. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Enough that they're like, you're the one. You should have your own show.
And mind
she gets her own show. Everyone's like, I don't know if it's going to be funny. She's killing it.
Here's the other piece, too. All of this is on NBC.
I know, it's brilliant.
So the movie I starred in with her was Kelly Clarkson's Cautionary Christmas Tale. That was in support of her Christmas record. She acts in it. She's the biggest role. I have the second biggest role. And she, that's also NBC. They played it 3 years in a row. 3 years in a row. They may even play it this Christmas.
Yeah.
I need that residual check, so please play it this Christmas. Yeah. But that being said, she's had a long-standing, really good relationship with One Network. Maybe that's what we do.
Yeah, she's fabulous.
You get in bed with One Network.
It's the way to do it, I think.
Let me support you.
Maybe the only other one that culturally might have really done a lot is Jennifer Hudson.
I agree.
I feel like she also deserves some kudos as well.
Yep.
But it's a big deal. You know, it's a big deal when you're part of many and you find a way to really stand out and
Agreed.
Make a difference.
Agreed. All right, we'll be chatting about that in a little bit, but first it's time for some news on the beat. So Michaela Gordon, what are people talking about?
All right, guys, well, this is breaking news, and shout out to our listeners and friends in Hartford, Connecticut. A vintage World War II plane crashed and erupted into flames this morning after it slid off a runway at Bradley International Airport just outside Hartford, Connecticut. We can confirm that there was an accident involving a Collings Foundation World War II aircraft this morning at Bradley Airport. According to the airport statement, at least six victims of the crash were taken to Hartford Hospital, a hospital spokeswoman said. We have an active fire and rescue operation underway. The airport is closed. We will further update as information becomes available, the Bradley Airport statement said. So big shout out to our listeners, and be safe. We'll continue keeping you updated as to how the six victims are doing. All right, you guys, in other news, there's a lot going on, but a federal judge upheld Harvard's admission process after a group representing Asian American applicants challenged it. The group argued at trial that the school's personal rating system hurts Asian Americans and favors Blacks and Hispanics, who generally have lower standardized test scores than Asian Americans. The judge ruled that the university's admissions process, while not perfect, is still constitutional, but this is probably not the end of this closely watched case. It is likely to be appealed and end up in the Supreme Court. All right, you guys. Well, in really fun news, I'm so excited about this. In support of National Coming Out Day and the one-year anniversary of Channel Q, we want to fly you and a friend, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your best friend, whatever, to the home of Channel Q, Los Angeles, California, for a weekend getaway. We'll take you out in West Hollywood for a little happy hour at the world-famous Abbey. They make the drinks very strong, so
actually,
you'll be very pleased.
You and I are very overdue for an Abbey date.
We are!
Honestly, if I have to wait all the way to National Coming Out Day, I'm going to be very sad.
Well, I'm thinking about getting a haircut, and then maybe I'll see you.
Today?
I just broke the news. I'm thinking about it.
Breaking news. Haircut is happening and drinks.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
So for those of you who don't know, I was one of the original Queer Eye for the Straight Guy guys. Back in the day, 2003, we launched with the first all-out gay cast in network history ever, exploding the ratings on Bravo and sort of solidifying their place on the map of the TV landscape. And this is the theme song for the reboot of Queer Eye, which welcomed in a whole new cast of Fab Five members from Tan France and Fashion, Bobby Burke, Interior Design, Anthony, I can't say his last name. Who does, of course, the food. The funny thing is, he was Ted Allen, my food guy's assistant. Then we have Karamo Brown. People know him from The Real World, but also he's a social worker, therapist. So he's got that therapeutic background. And, of course, Jonathan Van Ness. Now, out of the 10 of us, I would say for a while, Carson was the most famous. And then Jonathan Van Ness sort of blew up that spot just for his authenticity, him kind of, you know, being kind of over the top, him kind of saying things like, let's unpack that. That kind of one of the early episodes, everyone started repeating that. He was a long-haired, bearded guy who kind of dresses in this somewhat, gender-fluid kind of way, sometimes to wear a dress, sometimes to wear pants. But he sat down with Jimmy Kimmel because he's promoting his new autobiography. Now, people might think, this is a young guy. Like, why would he write an autobiography? Normally, he's the grooming guy. What's expected is a book about grooming.
Right.
But he didn't do that. Instead, he wrote this autobiography. I got to tell you, when I first heard that he was doing that, I was like, that's not good business.
Right.
But
he's killing it.
In it, he talked about being HIV positive. And I want just you guys to listen to this audio when he spoke to Jimmy Kimmel. Not since, producer Justin brought this up, since Magic Johnson, have we found someone to really educate us on modern day HIV in such an articulate and beautiful
Absolutely.
Way. Listen to Jonathan Van Ness on Jimmy Kimmel.
And so it was really a collection of decisions that made me want to talk about this. And it was, you know, scary too. I didn't ever picture myself sitting here on your couch talking about undetectable equals untransmittable.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes I've been telling a lot of people to speak truth to power. And I was like, I think I have to take my turn to speak truth
Do
to power.
Do that yourself. Yeah. Well, that's good. And interesting because I think so few people know about these things. And also, it's not something that it's comfortable to ask somebody who is in this situation to pry into their personal lives. But to learn that, I think, is very important.
Well, yeah. And I think, you know, obviously it needs to be someone who's willing to offer you this information
right,
to talk
right.
about it. But, you know, that was another reason why I wanted to talk about it, because we have to, like, end the stigma around STIs and around living with HIV.
Over 30 years we've had AIDS in our lives. You know, it's been around, and yet we're still not talking about it. And I like that he highlighted the U equals U. We've covered it here.
Yep.
If you are on your medication and you maintain, which the medication does, an undetectable viral load, that means it's virtually impossible to pass the virus on. And that's what we are, and we should know that. So we should encourage people to take their medications. In some instances, a lot of people don't take it because they don't want to be found. They don't want to go to the pharmacy. Well, guess what? You can get your meds delivered now. So, did this move you at all? I mean, were you surprised?
You know, I think that going back to his age, he is 32, and that's still very young. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the way he speaks is so, you find him to be so relatable and so humbling and so intelligent.
He was knowledgeable
and
on this stuff.
It's interesting.
We played a little clip, but that was longer. Yeah.
But it's interesting to see this side of him, which I'm obsessed with, because I feel like people have sometimes, watching Queer Eye, felt like he was very over the top and not relatable and like kind of obnoxious, actually.
Yeah, Carson got the same criticisms.
And to see him sit down so eloquently and be so brave and talk about something that's so important at this age, I'm a fan.
Honestly, me too.
I'm here for
I love advocates who are on the ground, who have a captive audience, who are listening to their every word, and you make the knowledge understandable.
Yeah.
And you say it cleanly and concisely. You can tell that he is, you know, very well versed in this, not just via his experience, but he talked about one time when he got the diagnosis at 25 years old that he was in Philadelphia at one time and he had forgotten his bottle of medicine. It was still in New York. And so he went to like a CVS. They wanted to charge him $3,500. And he was like, well, thank God I can afford this, but like,
nobody else can.
Nobody else can. And it's just sad that we're in a state where life-saving medication costs that much. And so he's going to start really advocating. He was just meeting with Nancy Pelosi, talking about a lot of major issues within the Equality Act and all that.
Yeah. He's not doing those things in a, you know how even sometimes when celebrities meet with politicians.
It's like for the picture.
Yeah, like you're like, this is kind of annoying. And it doesn't come off like that at all with him either. He's great. You know what? JVN, we are standing for you. Thank you for your honesty and being so real.
Yes, I love a real moment. Hey, you know what else I love?
What?
Billboards.
We love billboards.
Now, what would you do if you're driving in your beautiful car?
Yes.
You're on the way to Vegas.
Yeah.
And so you're kind of a little sleepy. You're awake. You're not going to fall asleep at the wheel, but you're just tired. You're dying to get home.
Yeah.
Off in the distance, you think you see something. It's not a mirage.
Okay.
It looks like a naked couple playing leapfrog. And it's motion. It's a moving animated thing. And the closer you drive, you realize it's porn.
Driving on the freeway.
It's happened, and we'll give you the details next.
I'm pulling over to watch.
One. Welcome back to the last few minutes here of The Morning Beat. Next up is going to be Drop the Subject with Allie and Jarrett, and they are here with us now.
Hello.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
So, big question is, listen, did you end up trying the cake?
We did try the
So
cake
you did
yesterday.
Eat some, and?
We did. I was surprised. It was not
you
bad.
You loved it.
It was not bad. Allie was expecting us to be like, it's delicious. And I was like, it's not bad.
It was delicious. I mean, I had you grating on a curve because it was frozen, but still, I only got like a 7.5 out of 10.
Well, I was like, I don't know what you want. It's a year-old cake. Like, are you expecting a 10?
What if you had said that what if she'd said she baked it herself? More points?
It was still a 7.5.
Then it would be a 3. And I'm not a baker.
I mean, the same cake, it was still a 7.5. You know what I mean? It wasn't great. But I mean, it wasn't amazing, but it was tasty. It still had flavor into it, but it, you know, it was an
well,
cake.
You'll try it again next year.
Yeah,
well, exactly.
What are you
They've
doing?
Saved the rest of it. So.
Well, I still wanted to try a piece, and I'm a little offended that we didn't get to. What are you talking about today?
We've got a lot going on. Bernie Sanders just pulled out.
Oh my God!
He just
I know.
Kind of like paused everything. He's canceled all of his upcoming events indefinitely after having a heart surgery. So we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Donald Trump remains president, and he is he's saying that what Congress is doing in terms of the impeachment inquiry is a coup, and I'm going to explain the difference between a coup and an impeachment. And, you know, there's a lot happening this morning. The Inspector General is coming to Congress to talk to them about their impeachment inquiry on something that's urgent, and so that seems like there's even more bad news for the White House to come, so there's a lot of those things.
I have a story.
Oh?
Did you see the mouse?
About a coup?
Oh. Did you see the mouse that fell out of the White House? And then started running around the press
room. In the press room,
area.
A mouse fell off out of the ceiling.
Talk about that place is rat infested.
Breaking news.
It's just disgusting. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of rats, but I didn't find a mouse jumping out of the ceiling to be in the news this
week. Well, I mean, the press room.
Poppy just showed it to me. He was like running around and everyone was like,
yeah, but that briefing room's pretty quiet. They haven't had a briefing in there in probably 6 months. So, you know, it's a pretty chill place to be right
Quieter
now.
Quieter than a mouse. Well, I wish that rats could talk. You know, it's like walls could talk, but with rats, like if that
they'd
rat
have to have a
could,
security clearance.
That would be a whistleblower in and of
exactly.
itself. Yeah, it would need clearance.
Yeah, absolutely.
The things that rat has heard is please,
for
someone,
sure.
Does anyone speak rat?
Exactly.
I have things to say. But we also have some other stuff today. We're doing the GMA, of course, because it's Wednesday. And then a topic I wanted to get into is when does anxiety ruin your movie-going experience? I was watching a movie last night, and I hate it in movies when they're holding up traffic for some kind of big, like, I love you, and it's, no, I don't care who's... And then
the cars
are, like, honking, and I'm like, please just move! These people need to get out of the... Like, they are trying to just live their lives. So there are other situations that I thought that maybe other people would have to
holding
say.
The elevator door open. I know, hold
yes.
on. End of Crazy Rich Asians, when everyone's trying to board the plane and he proposes.
Let people get on the... Yes!
See, I'm such a mock. I'm like, this is beautiful.
No,
hold the plane
I did
longer.
Think it was really cute, but there's no worse time to stop moving than when people are trying to get down the aisles, and it's like, would you move?
Right.
It's the worst, yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about that whenever your real-life anxiety gets in the way of your movie going.
I actually like that topic.
Yeah, that's
we
a
also
good
have
one.
A state. We have a state legislator on the show today.
Excuse Ooh. Me, Fancy, go on.
Yes, I know. There's a state that has a new law that says that they have to include LGBTQ history in school curriculums. And so we're going to be talking to that lawmaker about the phone ringing right now.
I know. Yeah, I have so many devices on my person.
No,
I thought it was me.
It's me because I don't know what happened. I think I answered a scam call accidentally last week. And I get
them.
And
they keep calling you now?
Yeah, I probably get them twice an hour.
See,
and
the iPhone?
If my computer's open, it'll go through my stupid computer.
The iPhone's amazing, though, because it tells me spam risk. So I don't have to answer
it. Mine doesn't
do
that. I think it's the carrier that you have. I don't think it's the
iPhone.
Oh,
well, whatever carrier. Yeah, AT&T. They let me know, honey. They're like, no.
Sprint, no protection.
Abort.
It's just like, you know. I can't even use those words.
All right, well, tomorrow on our show, we're going to be talking about what happens when your partner is more successful than you and how do you navigate those emotions?
Yay.
Oh, no.
Is that too much?
No, I've never had that problem.
No, it's a thing.
I think we're both just mediocrely successful.
All right, that's it for us here on The Morning Beat. We'll catch you tomorrow. Thanks to our producer, Justin. And keep it here for Drop the Subject next.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.